You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Last time on Ear Witness.
Yes, ma'am. This is Barry from Crown Steel Exceeds Hotel again.
Yes.
I have what appears to be a Jefferson County police officer shot in the back of our building. He is not moving.
He has been shot. And I said it looks bad. And it looks bad.
And then I just heard one say, "That's it. It's over. We can't do it anymore. It's over. We can't save him. He's gone."
Tavares Johnson, I remember he was pushing a Drakus Ford in the wheelchair. They came together.
I had saw Tavares pushing a Drakus in the club.
I just took two deuce signs up and I left. And
he was still there.
Yeah, he was still there when I left.
A deputy sheriff working another deputy sheriff's murder. Do you think that was emotional? Yes, it was. Very. And had it been my decision, the day we caught the people that did it, let's put them on death row.
The murder of Deputy Bill Hardy behind the Crown Sterling Suites Hotel was the top news story in Birmingham on July 19, 1995.
And police are looking for a cop killer. Someone shot 49-year-old William Hardy several times in the head.
It's a slow start, but investigators are throwing everything they have behind the case.
The TV news footage shows deputies wearing the traditional black band over their badges, a gesture that expresses grief for a fellow officer.
We're somber, we're sad, but we know we have a job to do, and we're determined to do that job.
This is a very difficult night for William Hardy's family. The Hardy home is full of sorrow and pain as they search for answers to a senseless crime.
A week after the murder, hundreds of people turn out for Deputy Hardy's funeral.
Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my brothers.
Video footage of the funeral shows women in dresses fanning themselves. It's summer in Alabama, a swampy 97 degrees. Someone actually faints in the heat.
Because we are still alive, we all have to do what Bill has already done. Amen.
The church is packed, but at least one longtime colleague of Hardy's isn't at the service.
I didn't make the funeral. We worked this case so hard, and we were so determined to get a resolution. I was working. I didn't make his funeral.
Tony Richardson is the lead detective on the case. A prosecutor who used to work with Richardson tells me he's a thorough investigator, a man who gets the job done. But this case is different from any other he's worked before. He's investigating the murder of someone he knows, someone he likes, someone he worked with for almost two decades.
When you got a deputy sheriff killed over here, it's high profile. And people are expecting things out here. Not only you know, you're emotional, you want to find the people that did this. You want somebody in custody.
In the immediate hours after Deputy Hardy's murder, Detective Tony Richardson and his investigators interviewed Marshal Kelly Cummings, the Keebler cookie guy, who heard the shots and saw someone drive away. They also interviewed the front desk clerk at the hotel, Barry Rushikoff, and other people staying at the Crown Sterling Suites who heard voices in the parking lot, followed by gunshots. No one they talked to says they actually saw the murder. Just a few witnesses heard the gunshots and then saw a car pull away. The lead evidence technician, who's actually Tony Richardson's brother, Deputy Charlie Richardson, finds two 9mm shell casings at the scene. A ballistics expert will later say that both casings came from the same gun. And that's pretty much all they have to go on. Police sweep the surrounding area and pull over any vehicles loosely matching descriptions from hotel guests, but it doesn't get them very far.
Not only do you want somebody in custody, the lieutenant is telling me, we need to get this done. The captain is telling the lieutenant, we need to get this done. The sheriff is telling the captain, we need to get this done.
Nine hours after Hardy is killed, the sheriff's department announces a reward for information. The reward amount would eventually grow to $20,000. Adjusted for inflation, that's about 40 grand today. And once a tip line is announced, the phones start ringing. One caller says a guy known as Big Man told him his cousin was involved. Another says a member of the Disciples gang carried out the murder. Officers sift through this information, trying to decipher what's worth pursuing and which callers might be pranks or people just interested in the reward money. Days go by, and they still don't have a suspect. And then Detective Richardson speaks to a woman named Rosa Hardy, and what she tells him eclipses every other lead he has.
And she told me, she says, my daughter knows who killed Bill.
I'm Beth Shelburne. This is Ear Witness. Chapter 2, Don't Know Diddley.
Anybody that was not there when I was there, anybody that was not there when Hardy was shot, don't know diddly about this case.
When I first got the enormous trove of records in the investigative file, I spent hours and hours just staring at my computer, overwhelmed by thousands of pages of documents. Right away, I knew I wanted to talk to Tony Richardson, the lead investigator in Hardy's murder. His name is on most of the police reports, and it's his voice we hear on a lot of the interrogation tapes.
Sergeant Tony Richardson, Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. Today's date is...
When I first call him for an interview, he says it would be best not to talk with me. But Richardson keeps talking for 25 minutes. It seems like he's got a lot on his mind. 2 weeks later, he agrees to go on the record.
Listen, I've decided I'm going to speak with you concerning your podcast.
Great. I'm really glad to hear that.
My producer, Mara, and I meet him in a conference room of a local library.
Hi. How are you?
How y'all doing?
I'm Beth. Tony,
Beth,
this is Mara.
Nice to meet you, too.
Good to meet
you.
We were going to have you sit here just so we're...
He's dressed casually. Jeans, a black sweatshirt, a U.S. Marines ball cap, and a toothpick he keeps in his mouth the entire interview.
Somebody, when they hear this, they're going to be questioning my integrity. You know, is this guy telling the truth or is he just telling a story? So I'll talk you to death. Let's get started.
When Detective Tony Richardson first gets that tip from Rosa Hardy, he goes over to the Ford dealership where she works as a receptionist.
I was always pretty thorough. I wrote everything down.
He writes in a report that Rosa Hardy told an officer that her daughter had information concerning the crime. The police report reads, Ms. Hardy told us that after she arrived for work at 12 noon of 7/19, she heard a police officer had been killed. She bought a newspaper and learned the victim was someone she and her family knew personally. Rosa knew Deputy Hardy and his wife. They have the same last name, but they're not related. They were good friends. The report goes on to say that Rosa's daughter, Yolanda Chambers, called her at work. Rosa told her that the officer that had been killed was Bill Hardy. According to Rosa, her daughter, Yolanda, responded, "Mama, I didn't know it was him." And then Yolanda went on to say she knew who killed him.
She says, "My daughter knows who killed Bill." Well, great. Will she talk to me? I don't know. She kind of reluctant. She don't want to do it. I'm trying to get her to do it. And I was just begging her, you know, let's figure out a way to get her in. We need her.
But Rosa isn't sure where Yolanda is.
I think at the time Yolanda was a semi-runaway or whatever, but she wasn't there, okay? So we worked very hard with Mom to get Yolanda in.
Later that evening, Rosa calls the sheriff's office and says Yolanda is at her apartment, and that's where Richardson picks her up. He brings Yolanda to sheriff's headquarters for questioning.
Sergeant Tony Richardson, Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. Today's date is July 24th, 1995. The time is 11:20 p.m. I'm at the sheriff's office headquarters along with Officer James Blanton of the Birmingham Police Department and Yolanda Michelle Chambers. Yolanda is a black female. She's 15 years of age. Again, what I want to talk to you about is...
Yolanda is by herself in a room with detectives and a tape recorder.
So I guess the best way for us to proceed is for you to tell me, first of all, when you learned that Deputy Hardy had been killed.
All right. If I'm not mistaken, it was a Friday. Me and one of my girlfriends, their name's Latonya, me and her and two guys were supposed to hook up that night. And, you know, they're older than us. One is 21. They call him Dre. He's in a wheelchair.
Dre is Ardragus Ford's nickname. And for some reason, in this interview, Yolanda refers to Teforest as Carlos.
And he has a brother named Carlos. So we were supposed to hook up, after they left Tees.
Teforest and Ardragus are not related, and Teforest's nickname has never been Carlos. It's unclear why Yolanda refers to him this way. But she tells police that Ardragus called her around 2 a.m. He and Teforest had left T's place and were on their way to pick her up.
You know, they'd be on time. They call us around about 2 or 3. You know, be like, come on.
Ardragus asks Yolanda to bring along a friend for Teforest. So after they pick up Yolanda, they all drive to pick up her friend, Latonya Henderson, who lives a few minutes away. I want to take a moment to address the age gap between Teforest Ardragus and the girls they're picking up. Teforest is 22, Ardragus is 21, LaTanya is 16, and Yolanda is 15. Teforest and Ardragus met Yolanda and LaTanya at a nightclub two nights prior to picking them up after teas. It's likely that the girls lied about their age to get into the club where they met. But I don't know if Teforest and Ardragus knew how old they were. I don't even know if it came up. The age of consent in Alabama is 16, but regardless, guys in their early 20s picking up teenage girls, it's just problematic.
Him and Carlos came and got me, and we went on headed to West End, Deer Park, pick LaTanya.
Yolanda says that once they get to LaTanya's house, it takes a while for LaTanya to get ready.
We had to wait on LaTanya about 40 minutes to get ready, take her bath and stuff, because she didn't have on no clothes.
LaTanya finally sneaks out of her bedroom window to meet them. Once the girls are in the car, Yolanda says that something is off, and Ardragus seems nervous.
You know, and I'm like, what's wrong, what's wrong? So we just got to get to the room. We need to, you know, go somewhere and just chill out. So, you know, we were riding around, you know, we were talking. He's like, man, this nigga smoked a cop.
According to Yolanda, Ardragus says the other guy in the car with them, Teforest, had smoked a cop.
Me and LaTanya were like, huh? You know, at first we thought they was like playing. Y'all got us in the car with y'all and y'all and did a crime.
Somehow, this revelation that Teforest and Ardragus were supposedly just involved in the murder of a police officer doesn't deter their plans. She says the four of them drive off to look for a hotel room.
We rode around in Homewood. First we went to the Fairfield Inn.
But she says the Fairfield Inn was booked solid. And so they head across the street to the Super 8 Motel.
So when we went right across to the Super 8, a whole lot of cops came from nowhere. Sheriffs and everything just came. And, you know, they had everybody get out the car.
It's there, in the Super 8 parking lot, that officers tell the group they're investigating the murder of a deputy who was shot and killed earlier that night, a few miles away at the Crown Sterling Suites Hotel. Remember, officers were on the lookout for cars in the vicinity of the crime scene, and this is why they pull in behind the Monte Carlo in the Super 8 parking lot. One of the officers later testifies that he tried to extract Ardragus from the car before learning that he's paralyzed. The officer makes Teforest get out of the car, put his hands on the trunk while he pats him down, then looks inside the Monte Carlo with his flashlight. He finds nothing suspicious and decides to let everyone go, except Teforest, because he has a misdemeanor warrant for driving without a license. So police take Teforest to the Birmingham City Jail, and he bonds out later that afternoon. Meanwhile, Ardragus' license is expired, so police won't let him drive home, and he leaves the Monte Carlo in the Super 8 parking lot. He and the girls get a cab to go home, and Yolanda crashes at a friend's house. She says she calls her mom later that morning.
I called my mom this next morning. She's like, guess what? You know this bill is big. I say,
That click? It's the sound of an officer turning the tape recorder off. We don't know what's being said between Yolanda and investigators when the tape is stopped. But Yolanda's first interview isn't over. The tape starts rolling again.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was telling my mom about it, and she said, Yolanda, you know, the police officer that got killed last night. I was like, yeah.
Okay, let me stop you again, okay, because I want to make sure that we get it on the record. Now, you have already mentioned in your statement that this was a Friday.
It was a Tuesday, because that's when they had Tuesday. Happy hour.
Tuesday.
Happy hour. The
Tuesday
night
around what time?
It was going on with a Wednesday morning, around about 2.
Yolanda says that Carlos, remember that's what she's calling Teforest, told her the time that he shot Deputy Hardy.
The incident happened around about 12, around that hour.
Who told you that?
12:30. Carlos.
And then Yolanda suggests a potential motive. She says Deputy Hardy had arrested DeForest before, and that's why he supposedly shot him.
You know, because I think Bill had arrested him or something before.
Carlos?
Mm-hmm.
You know where he arrested him at?
Mm-hmm. I think it had something to do why he went to prison.
An officer turns the tape recorder off for a second time. When the tape resumes, Yolanda offers a different motive for Hardy's murder. Now she says they killed him after an attempted robbery. And since Hardy had seen their faces, it just made sense to kill him.
The most thing for him to do was kill him.
In the last minutes of the interview, detectives ask Yolanda why Ardragas and Carlos had gone to the Crown Sterling Suites. And she says they wanted to get a room because they sell drugs. They ask her if she knows anybody else these guys run with. Yolanda points to the photos of two other men in a stack that police show her. You hear Richardson say she has identified Omar Berry and Quintez Wilson.
She has identified Quintez Wilson. This guy you're looking at, you know him as what?
Red.
Okay, that's a photograph of Omar Berry.
These two other young black men are added to their list of suspects. This first recorded interview lasts about 35 minutes. And right at the end, an officer asks Yolanda if anyone has made promises to her.
They don't make promises to you about the statements you just made.
No.
And
just don't think. I mean,
She answers no. Then we hear her say, the only thing, y'all gonna. And then there's 7 long seconds of silence.
Hey, Sergeant Richardson, this is gonna conclude this interview at this time, 11:55 p.m.
I listened to this interview over and over again. And what stands out is that each time officers stop and then restart the tape, there's a shift in Yolanda's story. At first, she says it was a Friday that she heard about Hardy's murder. Then, after the tape stops and restarts, Richardson prompts her for the date, and she corrects herself and says it was a Tuesday night going into Wednesday. With every restart of the tape, Richardson gets a story that lines up more and more with the facts surrounding Hardy's murder. That he was shot on Wednesday morning behind the Crown Sterling at 12:50 a.m. And then there's the motives Yolanda provides. First, that DeForest killed Hardy because Hardy had arrested him previously. But we know Hardy had not arrested DeForest. At the time of his death, Hardy worked in court services. His duties involved serving subpoenas and directing traffic outside the courthouse. I've seen zero evidence that Deputy Hardy ever came into contact with DeForest Johnson. After the tape stops and restarts, Yolanda gives a second motive, that the crime started as an attempted robbery that ends in Hardy's murder. I asked Tony Richardson about his approach with Yolanda.
Yolanda was reluctant. She didn't want to talk. She didn't want. We had to keep at her. We had to pull, like pulling teeth. You know, Yolanda, we need this. And sometimes we'd have to be stern, you know, and firm, trying to shake her, you know. Sometimes we'd have to be soft. Whatever worked to get this information out of her.
There are a lot of stops and starts. And I wonder what is going on then. Like, the tape stops, and then it restarts.
I couldn't tell you.
When you go off the record with people, I mean, what is best practices for?
Best practice is not to go off the record. That's the best practice. I mean, once you cut the tape on, unless the tape runs out and you changing the tape, you don't cut it off until you're done. There's no way I can tell you why the tape stopped. But I will tell you this. It didn't stop so something sinister could happen. I can tell you that.
What would you do off the record, though?
I mean, somebody could have wanted to go to the bathroom or could have just motioned for a break or could have even motioned to say, cut that thing off. You know? There's no way I can tell you why it was cut off. I can tell you there's nothing sinister here. There's no smoking gun here as far as doing anything that was not above board. Never occurred. Never happened.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
It was early in the morning, and I was just lounging around in my apartment, you know, and I had my front door was open, and where I was sitting, I could see out the door, and here I see just cars, unmarked cars.
In July of 1995, Taforest and his cousin Antonio Green were living together. But on the morning of the 25th, Antonio is alone in their apartment when police cars pull up.
Oh, there. So I see him pulling up in the front lot and the back. And I'm like, oh, what's going on over here? Next thing I know, they're at my door. And they asked, was Tafaris Johnson there? I said, no, he's been staying here. But while he asking me this, they've already came in both doors. So they're already in my house. They're going down the hallway. So I'm thinking, now this must be something serious, you know, whatever it is. So the guy's telling me,
officers say they're looking for Taforest because they think he might know something about a murder.
Something, or when they said murder, that really just threw me all the way to the left, because violent, he was never violent. You know, rambunctious teenager, young kid, doing what all of us were doing as far as partying and having a good time and all this, but violence, never. He was never a violent person.
As officers walk through Antonio's house, his phone rings. It's his grandfather, and he says police are at his house, too. Antonio hangs up, and the phone rings again.
The phone rang again. I answered it, and it's him. It's DeFars. I said, hey, man, where you at? He said, I'm headed up there now. I said, yeah, it's folk looking for you everywhere. He said, yeah, that's what I heard. I don't know what they want, but I'm finna go and see now. I'm going up there at the house now and see what they want. So he did.
DeForest tells his cousin he has no idea why police want to talk to him, but he goes to meet with them at his grandfather's house.
My grandfather's house, and I heard him over the radio say, we got him in custody. And only then would they leave the house.
Police take DeForest to Sheriff's Office headquarters for questioning on the morning of July 25th, the day after they first talked to Yolanda Chambers. Detective Tony Richardson and his partner Tom Salter ask DeForest to walk them through the evening of July 18th, the hours leading up to Deputy Hardy's murder.
What was you doing at 5 o'clock in the evening?
Probably up by gas world.
Who'd you hung out?
DeForest says that around 5 p.m., he was getting his hair cut at a neighborhood spot called Gas World, part gas station, part barbershop and nail salon, part convenience store. Afterwards, he met up with his little brother at his mom's apartment complex.
You was hanging out outside up there?
Yeah, we'd be outside up there on the little park or around walking. Just something to do.
Trying to find something to do when there's nothing to do. As DeForest tells this to police, he has no way of knowing that he's describing one of his last few days of freedom.
So you got somebody to take you home because you're hungry?
Yeah.
What'd you fix?
Some bologna.
A bologna sandwich?
Yes, I
cooked
some.
He fries himself a bologna and cheese sandwich, plays Sega, and listens to the radio.
See, I think I stayed at home. The Dragons came. I think I stayed until he came and picked me up.
He stays there until his friend, Ardragas Ford, picks him up in his 1971 black Monte Carlo to go to T's place. While police ask DeForest about the night Hardy was killed, others are out looking for Ardragas Ford. They knock on the door of his mom's house. Here's Joyce Ford.
3 o'clock that morning, I was staying in Central Park. Somebody knocked on the door, and I said, who is it? And they said, Jefferson County Sheriff, ma'am. So I looked out the window. They were everywhere. I opened the door, and I was kind of nervous. And they said, is Ardragas Ford home? I said, no. Then they said, well, can we come in? I said, I don't have anything to hide. You're welcome to come in, but do you have a search warrant? And they said, no. I said, well, you can't come in. They said, well, we have some questions to ask, and can you bring him in when he get home? And I told him when he got home, I told him what happened. And he said, yeah, Ma, I'd be glad to go.
So Joyce drives Ardragas to the sheriff's office headquarters on the morning of July 26th. Detectives Richardson and Salter ask him what he was up to on the night of the murder. Richardson asks him what time he picked up DeForest.
First time you saw him Tuesday was about 10 o'clock at night.
About 10.
Once they get to T's, Ardragas says his beeper is going off all night. It's Yolanda Chambers.
She had been paging, but I wouldn't call her back. So after we left T's...
He had just met her the previous Sunday at another nightclub called The Jaguar. In separate interviews, both DeForest and Ardragas tell detectives they hung out at T's until past 1 a.m., catching up with old friends like Mama Cat and Queasy.
We stood right there. We were fucking with that girl Mama Cat who I was telling you about, Mama Cat and Queasy.
But after they strike out at the club, Ardragas says he finally calls Yolanda around 2:30 a.m.
And so I called her, told her I would come get her.
Ardragas says he and DeForest pick up Yolanda and then head to her friend LaTanya's house. And just like Yolanda told police, he also says that LaTanya doesn't come out to meet them right away. He remembers this clearly because it was kind of annoying.
took a long while to come out the house.
Mm-hmm.
And this time of night, you know, we ain't got time to be waiting on nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Detectives also bring LaTanya Henderson in for questioning. She talks to a female officer without a parent or lawyer present. And she says the same thing.
So Yolanda and I picked you up around 3 o'clock.
My time again, the call was around 3.
3 o'clock a.m. in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All four of them say they leave LaTanya's house and try to get a room.
Like I said, we pulled up at the Fairfield Inn. We went to Fairfield first. Pulled up in the Fairfield.
Just like Yolanda says, they tell police that the Fairfield Inn is booked, so they head to the Super 8 Motel. This is where officers stopped them as part of their sweep of cars across Homewood. At this point, Ardragas, DeForest, LaTanya, and Yolanda have all independently described similar versions of the night to detectives, with one huge exception. No one in the car says they know anything about Deputy Hardy's murder, except Yolanda.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Today's date is July 26, 1995. The time is 12:37.
2 days after her first recorded interview with police, Yolanda Chambers is back in for questioning. At first, Yolanda tells a similar story to her first interview, that she heard Ardragas say that DeForest killed a cop.
Did he say anything else?
No.
The tape recorder is turned off. 40 minutes later, they start recording again.
Hey, Sergeant Richardson, I'm restarting the tape. The time is 20 minutes to 2. We took a short break. We're going to get started again. Yolanda, during our break time, we talked some about the incident or the case. Now, I'm going to ask you now, what you have already told me during the times that I have interviewed you, is that the truth?
No.
It's not the truth?
No.
Did any of that that you told me, did any of that occur?
It occurred, but it was not nothing that I had heard.
Okay, so Are you telling me that you didn't get this secondhand, that when this deputy was shot and killed, that you were there?
No, I didn't get it secondhand. I was there.
You were there?
I was there when it went down.
She says she was actually there when Hardy was shot, and she's about to tell detectives a completely different version of what happened that night.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, when I told you that they were supposed to come get me around by 11:30, they did come and get me at the actual time.
Yolanda now says that DeForest and Ardragus came to pick her up around 11:30 p.m. instead of 2 a.m.
After they came and got me, went and got LaSanya. She was ready. And
wait a minute. You mean walk right out?
Walk right on now.
Okay.
Yolanda says that LaTanya hops right into the car instead of taking a long time to get ready.
Did you know at the time where y'all were going?
Yeah.
Where were you going?
The Crown Sterling.
Okay. So did y'all go to the Crown Sterling?
Yeah, we went.
She now says they left LaTanya's house and went straight to the Crown Sterling Suites Hotel.
And what time you think you got there?
A little after 12, because Drake was driving real fast.
So when you say a little after 12...
Yolanda names an arrival time that fits neatly with Hardy's murder, which was around 12:50 a.m. And then she says that Ardragus and DeForest were meeting up with some guys at the hotel to do a drug deal.
No later than
12:15. Okay, and where did y'all
park? On the side, not on the side, on the side right across from where the bank is.
So y'all parked there?
She says they pull up on the side of the hotel across from another car that flashes its lights at them. Inside that car, Yolanda says she sees three people, and two of them are the guys she previously identified in photos that police showed her, Omar Berry and Quintez Wilson. Yolanda says that Omar and Quintez walk over to Ardragus's car and DeForest gets out to join them. Yolanda, LaTanya, and Ardragus stay in the car, and Yolanda says this is when she sees Deputy Bill Hardy walk around the side of the building. In the final 6 minutes of this recording, Yolanda tells a disjointed version of events. She says Deputy Hardy meets up with this group of men in the parking lot, and they huddle up, then all walk toward the front entrance of the hotel. She says they're gone for 30 to 40 minutes, when DeForest, who she calls Carlos, jogs back to the cars.
And so, Carlos jumped in the car, man, come on, let's go.
Let me stop you there now. Mm-hmm. Okay, slow down.
Up until this point, Yolanda has not mentioned Hardy's murder.
Okay, now you mentioned to me that you heard what you thought was three shots.
Mm-hmm. But when we heard that, we were like, we didn't know what it was. We didn't know what was going on.
This is the first time there's any mention on tape that Yolanda heard gunshots. She confirms it after Tony Richardson brings it up.
So you heard those shots before he ever ran back to the car?
Yes, when they were gone that long period of time.
Okay.
This version of events does not line up with what Richardson knows about the crime. Hardy was murdered at the back entrance of the hotel, not the side near the bank where Yolanda says they were parked, and definitely not the front of the hotel where she claims this group of men disappeared with Hardy.
Now, this is what you're telling me now.
This is the honest to God truth.
Okay. Why didn't you tell me from the start that you were there?
Because I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just didn't know what to say.
Okay.
I just wanted, since I knew about it, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I had some information about it, but I didn't want you all to know I was there at the actual time.
The recorder is turned off yet again for almost an hour. When the tape starts up again, Sergeant Salter asks the questions.
Ms. Chambers, we need to clarify something about where y'all were parked at the Crown Sterling Suites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding that y'all drove in to the parking lot, to the back door, is that correct?
Correct.
and you parked.
Yolanda now agrees that they were parked at the back of the hotel where Hardy was shot. There's no discussion on tape about why this detail changed. And then her story changes again. She says she didn't just hear the shots. She says she sees Deputy Hardy falling to the ground right after he's shot.
I heard the first shot. Then I looked over. He had already fell. He was falling.
He was falling when you saw him? Mm-hmm. Who was standing in front of him when you saw him falling?
It looked like Carlos.
Did you see a gun?
Mm-mm.
At that time, you didn't.
Mm-mm.
Did you hear another shot?
I heard exactly three shots.
You heard three shots?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then what happened?
And then they started running.
Who started running?
All of them.
Okay.
Sergeant Salter then prompts her to talk about what she sees when DeForest gets back into Ardragus's Monte Carlo.
Did he have anything on his hand that you told me about?
Blood.
Did you think he was hurt?
Yeah, I thought something
had happened. Did you see how he got the blood on his hand?
No, I just seen the blood. I was like, don't put it on me.
Yolanda Chambers' statement to police has gone from hearing Ardragus say his buddy smoked a cop to actually being at the Crown Sterling Suites when shots were fired and seeing blood dripping off to Forrest's hands.
Did I believe everything Yolanda told me? No. Hell no. Hell no. But Yolanda told a lot of truth while she was trying to hide it by telling lies.
Why do you think she told a lot of truth? Like, what convinced you that some of what she was telling you was truth and some wasn't?
You know, police officers, through their knowledge, investigative skills, history, you know, they know how to put things together. So I start talking to you, but I already know in my mind, before you ever start talking, what happened, how it happened.
After 2 days of on-the-record interviews with police, Yolanda now says that she, DeForest and Ardragus, her friend LaTanya, along with Omar Berry and Quintez Wilson, were all there at the Crown Sterling Suites when Deputy Hardy was killed. But all five people she places at the hotel deny being there. The officer who interviews LaTanya Henderson confronts her with Yolanda's latest story.
So what she's saying, she was there, mm-hmm. and I was there. Mm-hmm. That's a lie. Okay. That's a shame.
Okay. So Yolanda's lying.
She surely is.
Okay. So y'all never went to Crown Sterling. Y'all only went to Super 8. That's it.
I don't know what Crown Sterling is.
Okay.
Is Crown Sterling by Super 8?
No.
Well then, I didn't go.
Okay.
And I'm telling the truth.
Police also confront DeForest with Yolanda's story.
You know what I'm saying? Everything that I did, I explained it to you exactly how it happened.
Mm-hmm. Everything except the trip to the Crown.
We didn't take a trip down.
Yes, you took a trip to the Crown.
No, sir, we did.
Yes, you did.
No, sir. I didn't go to the Crown.
Oh, you went to the Crown.
I hope.
Crown Sterling Suite.
No, sir. I ain't been to the Crown Sterling since I've been home. That's the honesty God truth.
They interrogate him for over 2.5 hours. No matter what DeForest says or how many times he states plainly that he was not there and does not know anything about the murder, investigators don't believe him.
How about giving me some of the information that you just having a hard time giving me?
Officer, I gave you everything that I know about to tonight. I don't know anything else. I can't make myself tell you nothing I don't know. I told you all that I can tell you. That's all I know. I see that all I'm doing, I'm just getting fucked. That's all I'm getting. I'm the one getting fucked. I don't know who killed that man. I ain't killed that man. I gave you all that I know, so
no.
I can't give you nothing.
I don't think you give us all that you know. Well, I'm trying to give you all the information that I know.
Oh, man, mercy. I don't know anything. I'm just waiting. You know what I'm saying?
But you
do. You gonna make me
no.
say I did not do it. I was not there.
From this point on, detectives rely on Yolanda to build their narrative about the murder. They'll go on to interview her over and over again, at least 25 times, and every time they talk to her, her story will change. So why did police continue to lean on this 15-year-old girl, even though they caught her in so many lies? And who is Yolanda Chambers? That's next time. Ear Witness is a production of Lava for Good Podcasts in association with Signal Company No. 1. Executive producers are Jason Flom, Jeff Kempler, Kevin Wardis, and me, Beth Shelburne. The investigative reporting for this series was done by me and Mara McNamara. Producers are Mara McNamara, Hannah Beal, and Jackie Pauly. Kara Kornhaber is our senior producer. Britt Spangler is our sound designer. Additional story editing from Marie Sutton. Fact check help from Catherine Newhan. And special thanks to DeForest Johnson's legal defense team. You can follow the show on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter at Lava for Good. To see behind-the-scenes content from our investigation, visit lavaforgood.com/earwitness.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.